Now, welcome to Dirt and Turf on behalf of the Social Sports Pad Podcast. I am the man they call Cobra, and in my starting lineup, I have Ben and Kat. How you doing, guys?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great.
All right. Spring training is underway. Unfortunately, we are a little bit behind in that, sadly. We kind of got a little bit distracted. We had football. We had football getting started, you know, with the off season. We also had other things going on. But hey, we're at baseball. We're getting ready before the season starts.
I love it. Yeah, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, definitely something we are excited about. I think everyone who's wondering about my baseball credentials, my father was a bus driver for the Wilmington Blue Rocks baseball team. And if you don't know who the Wilmington Blue Rocks baseball team are, they are a minor league affiliate, or were a minor league affiliate, of the Kansas City Royals. Unfortunately, during COVID, that has kind of gotten restructured. I don't know if they're still with the Royals now. I'd have to check. But they were with the Nationals during COVID. Just because of locality.
Oh.
Yep, that was a thing. But I managed to meet some players who have become major leaguers and also World Series champions. That would include Salvador Perez is the main one that I remember seeing. But my dad definitely saw Mike Moustakas, Eric Hosmer, Lorenzo Cain, Alcides Escobar, Danny Duffy, Everett Tiefert, Aaron Crow, and Alex Gordon was even there for a quick minute. So he met and rode with some major players.
That's
and that was a fun
awesome.
Time.
Yep. That is always awesome.
And Ben and Kat, I'm pretty sure you guys are big baseball fans as well.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us your baseball acumen?
Well, I also got my love for baseball from my dad. He was born in 47. So when the Orioles started in 1954, he was a little kid, but he was hooked from day one. And that's just kept going. He was also actually a really big fan of the Colts. He got to see Johnny Unitas play.
He also got to see the Mayflower truck ship his team over to Indianapolis too.
Nobody saw that. Nobody saw that. Okay. That's still such a sore subject for people in Baltimore. Like, I can't talk to my aunt.
To be fair, they should have done that to Andrew Luck. Put him in a Mayflower truck and send him to Baltimore. He'd probably still be playing in the league.
Maybe.
Enough about football.
But his love of football just kind of transferred into his love of baseball, and those were really the two big sports growing up for us. He remembers, well, he's passed now. He passed 3 years ago, but he would tell stories all the time about getting to go see, you know, Boog Powell and Brooks Robinson and, Jim Palmer and, too many names to remember all of them, but those are the top three for him. And he passed that on. He could remember dates and like scores of games. And I'm like, my brain does not have room for all that, Dad, but I love that you remember that. And now my favorite ball player, and everybody's going to roll their eyes, okay? Cal Ripken Jr. But
hey, there's nothing wrong with Rippy, okay? There's nothing wrong with Rippy. I used to follow the Orioles when I was a kid because that's what was on TV.
He was just literally on another level with how he handled himself on and off the field, with still being there for his kids. He still had a stellar career, and he was still there for his family. And so many people are caught up in either their career or their hobby, and they don't really have time for their family. So for a guy who broke Lou Gehrig's streak to still be involved with his kids, like, that was a big deal for me growing up. And my parents knew it. They they encouraged me to stay up the night that he broke the streak. And I stayed up and I watched that whole game, including the fifth inning break where he did the lap in the stadium.
Nice.
So
nice. And by the way, I acknowledge that I have been to Camden Yards before to watch a Royals versus Baltimore Orioles game play. And by the way, fuck you, Joaquin Soria. You fucking suck. Ben, I'm gonna go to you now. What is your baseball acumen?
I mean, I don't remember who got me into it per se, but I know my grandfather liked the Phillies. I liked the Orioles.
Same with my great grandfather. My great grandfather loves the Phillies. Mm. My mom loves the Phillies because of him. So
I like the Phillies. Yeah. I still like the Phillies. I'm just not as big as a fan. Definitely a big Orioles fan. Loved them since I can remember. Used to come home off the school bus. Can't wait to watch them. And that was every day I got off the bus to watch them play. After I got off, I'm just glued to the TV. Ripken definitely was my favorite player. Mike Mussina was until he decided to go to the Yankees. Boo, hiss, I hate you now. The worst memory, though, probably when the Orioles were playing the Yankees. And
in the playoffs, it got robbed by a fan.
Yep, Tony Tarasco would have caught that ball, too.
Yep. I figured we should have aired our, not our grievances, but our experiences with baseball. I mean, like I said, you know, I'm a Royals fan. You guys are Orioles fans.
Hey, you know what? That's okay. Like, yeah. That's okay.
All of us have childhood experiences that brought us to this lovely, lovely American pastime called baseball.
Yes. You know,
where the smell of the grass, the hit of the bat, the ball hitting the glove, delicious beer, the greatest things about baseball.
The sound of the ball hitting the catcher's mitt. Or the sound of the ball off the bat, you know, if your team gets a home run.
Exactly. There's no better sound. There's no better sound than that, than ball hitting leather or ball hitting bat.
Oh, man. And especially when you go to one of these big stadiums. Now, I have to say, three of my four kids play in a little league. And some of the games you sit there and you're like, I'd rather watch this than the major leagues. But, you know, some of that is, you know, the umpires sometimes interfere in the major leagues. And, you know, you've got, you know, challenges being made and all that stuff. Like the flow of the game, I think, is getting choppier. Because yes. of some of the advancements that we've put into baseball,
I think it has to do with how everyone that are sitting on that high pedestal, and I'm talking about Rob Manfred, him,
yeah,
him, that piece of shit. We'll get to him. We'll get to him later. But basically how they all see that, oh, attendance is going down because the game isn't fast. No, people aren't attending the games because they don't have the money.
Yeah.
That's the easy answer. Is they don't have the money. They want, trust me, we the fans, we want to go to these games.
Oh my gosh.
There's nothing better than going to a baseball park and taking in the atmosphere. But we just don't have the money at times.
Well, and even with some of the specials that I know Camden Yards runs,
yeah.
you know, I look at it and I'm like, oh, that looks really great. But
and
then,
it's not just Camden Yards either. You know, all of baseball has this problem.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. But the, you know, you got to look at the ticket prices and then you got to look at how much is parking going to be? Do I really want to ride on the light rail with my four children? No. Do I really want to pay for all of those tickets? No, no, I do not. Because
and don't forget about the cost of food.
Oh. Now I will say also, Camden Yards does have another, kind of like a meal deal kind of thing. But of course, yeah. each one is like $20.
Exactly. You know,
so, that's you know, crazy. I'm spending $100 on the tickets. I'm spending $100 to get down into Baltimore City. And I'm spending $100 on food.
Yeah. Yeah. And feed four kids, you said?
Yes.
You know, because guarantee you, you know, obviously you're not going to sit still. They want more drinks. You know, that's stupid too.
Yeah. There's a lot.
And that's also not just a major league problem either. That's also a minor league problem too.
Now, I will say, when I went to the Frederick Keys games, their tickets are
those motherfuckers.
Really affordable.
Forgive me, I had to say that because, again, Blue Rocks, you know, face the Frederick Keys all the damn time.
I'm sure they do. But at the same time, what they do in their stadium is, you know, really what you kind of expect from a minor league team. And quite frankly, like, again, I'd almost rather go to a AAA game rather than a majors.
Just because of cost.
And, you know, the umpires are not as, what's the word I'm looking for?
Bullshit.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that works. Yeah.
So speaking of the minor leagues, I think we should look at spring training for a quick minute. We're gonna look at let's look at spring training for a minute, and in the Grapefruit League, obviously we're seeing that the Baltimore Orioles as of the eighth of March, they're currently kicking it right now. You know, they are 11-2. Their last 10, they're 8-2. You know, they've just been kicking it.
It's, when I was younger, we had a really solid team. Through like high school and college, they were a joke. Like, essentially, they were a joke for probably 15 years.
Brian Roberts era.
Yeah.
Poor Brian. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I know I've said this to you before, but small market clubs unfortunately have a 5-year gap. Yeah, pretty much when small market clubs start getting hot, they have a 5-year window to get success.
So here's the issue I have, though. I don't feel like the Orioles are a small market team, though. Because the simple fact...
They technically are, by the metrics of the salary cap.
Well, I don't know. They have a new owner coming in, so I mean, I wonder if he has more money.
They have multiple
ownership
new
and
owners.
Money. Ownership and money sadly doesn't mean a thing.
Here's the other thing.
Unless you're the Athletics.
Yeah, right. And this is my big huge beef for my Baltimore teams. Okay, we constantly get overlooked because we are in between Washington, D.C., and New York City. We constantly get overlooked. And the
not just New York either. You also got Philadelphia to deal with as well. So again, you are in that small market.
We've literally got a line of cities, and Baltimore just keeps being considered, you know, not a serious contender. And you know, last year when we won the division, people still had negative things to say. Oh, this won't last. Oh, they got over 100. Whoop-de-doo.
To be fair, there's a kernel of truth in that because of you know, I'll use the Kansas City Royals for an example. You know, as soon as that five-year metric fell out, you know, our team crumbled, and we're now, and the Royals are back to rebuild mode. You know, we had to keep
the The only reason why they talk about that like that is because the Orioles' history of losing. They don't have faith. They don't think that they're going to sustain it. But they have the best farm system, and they're just not even – they're not even in their prime yet. They're
The farm system that we have developed is, like, literally the measuring stick for every other farm system in the entire major league.
Yeah, everybody's trying to copy us.
The Royals have the same thing, too. I don't know if that is still true or not, but, you know, at this present time. But the Royals.
Well, and it's not just the players that they have to develop on U.S. soil. It's where they're going to find these players. Because, of course, you know, we've got a lot of Japanese players. We've got a lot of
Caribbean players from Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic.
Yeah. Cuba. Venezuela.
Korea. You know.
Wasn't there a kid from Britain that they were trying to bring over?
Yeah.
I might have heard something.
I seem to remember a British kid at one point. But, you know, the Orioles have developed this farm system that is bringing in so many good players. And I think our biggest stumbling block is that we're not taking those talents and enhancing them once they're here. I think, you know, I think a lot of the front office management style is very hands off, and we don't have a lot of, like, how can we improve this player? Instead, we just kind of go, well, this is what we have. And I feel like we need to better develop players. And that is one thing, this is going to really hurt for me to say, but that is one thing that I feel like the Yankees do really well.
Well, they might. Kat, what the Yankees actually do is they price you out. That's what
they have done that. Yes, but
they have also
taken players that, you know, had a lot of promise. And they've elevated the promise.
Well, that also has to do with a change of scenery, too. Especially when you go to the Yankees. The Yankees are going to try to praise you and put you up on a block. Because what do they have, really? They don't grow their own players. When was the last time they had their own homegrown player? Probably Derek Jeter. Maybe Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge, actually.
Aaron Judge, yeah. And he's not even that good, in my opinion. He just hits home runs. That's all he does. He doesn't do anything else better.
Sometimes that's all you need to get butts in seats is hit dingers.
I mean, our first baseman. Oh, my gosh. His last name just went. Chris Davis.
Chris Davis.
Bobby Bonilla 2.0, you mean.
He hit bombs all the time. Nobody complains. But the thing was, the Orioles got on base. So that when he did hit yard, everybody came home.
But here's the problem with Davis, though. Davis, when he was actually hitting and didn't get suspended and then lose his concentration, and I think that's where he just fell down because I guess he never got permission from the doctor. I don't know what the hell happened there to be able to take the medication. But he was just taking ADHD medicine.
Some form wasn't supposedly filled out or something.
And did he even reapply? As far as I know, I don't think he ever tried. I don't know, because he looked lost.
Part of the conversation was that without his medication, it was actually kind of dangerous for him to play baseball.
That's what I'm saying. Like, after he got suspended and came back the next following year, he just looked completely lost, like he didn't know what he was doing. And the Orioles didn't handle that well. They should have handled it differently. They didn't. They should have rested him. They should have figured out what was going on instead of letting him struggle.
I think they probably put him on a different medication that was, quote, legal.
And I believe also they were also pressured by the unfortunate, massive contract he signed, which became and an albatross around the Orioles.
That is where I have a problem. So they were hesitant to give him a big contract because of Albert Pujols. Okay, big deal. Albert Pujols, whatever. That was a one-time thing. Okay, he didn't cause any issues, though. That was something completely unrelated. And then he's like, oh, I don't want to spend any more money. And then he spends money on Chris Davis when he could have spent the money on Manny Machado.
See, I don't like Manny Machado. I don't like him either.
Manny Machado's an asshole.
Yeah, I agree. Really but at the he was the only prospect that we had at the time that we should have signed.
Mike Moustakas was a better ball player than him.
But here's the other thing that I really and truly believe has an impact on every single team. I don't care what sport it is. I don't care what level you're playing at. If you don't have the right chemistry between your players, if your players don't mesh a certain way, they are not going to perform.
Well, here's how I feel about that. I agree. Because this
I really think Manny Machado brought a bunch of guys down.
I don't know if he brought the guys down. I think it was more or less.
He brought him down because he started to get star power. He started to let his ego, you know,
hit his head. Yes.
He started caring about himself. I don't think he more or less put the team. I don't think the team struggled because of it. I think it's just more or less he struggled because of it.
Yeah.
I don't think he would ever think that he was struggling. I think he would say that the team was holding him back.
Well, of course. He's always going to say that because he's a prima donna.
Yes.
And he's a decent ball player. So
when he left, I was not sad to see him go. Okay? I was not sad.
He is a great ball player when his head is actually even on his shoulders.
Is he even playing right now? I've completely lost
track. He's on the Padres.
He's still on the Padres.
Is he really?
yep. That witted shit.
Yep. But, wearing the brown stained uniform.
I agree with the whole chemistry thing because last year the Orioles, they're young. They all are hip on everything that's going on with today's whatever language.
Yeah.
They all know each other. They've grew up with each other in the minors. All these players were not bought from other teams. And this year I think it's going to be even better. I'm looking for them to win the division.
I definitely agree with that. The Orioles pretty much, if they win the division, they're pretty much playing with house money.
And I have a feeling that Jackson Holliday might make the opening roster.
I wouldn't be surprised about that either, man. I mean,
his interview,
some of his hits, and some of the reach that he has with that ball once he makes contact.
Yep.
That's just. It was mind blowing. And of course, you know, none of us are really watching this on TV. We're seeing it in reels all over whatever social media platform we're on.
Yeah. I'm watching the game cast right now. Orioles are playing the Tigers. Jackson Holliday's on up the bat.
Nice. Well, speaking, before we get excited about the opening season, we got to talk about a very important issue because this affects not only the players on the field, but this also affects us too. And that would be the uniform situation, courtesy of Fanatics. Who we are affiliated with, but we still have to bring this up.
Fanatics,
what are you doing?
Who was in charge of this? Yeah. Who said, let's put these see-through pants on all the guys? That sounds like a great idea.
Also, you can barely see the names and the numbers on the jersey. Who thought that was a good idea, too?
Half of this is Nike's fault. Half of this is Fanatics' fault. Who's the designer up with this?
40% Fanatics, 40% Nike, 20% Rob Manfred.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right there. I feel like they tried to incorporate some new fangled, breathable, lightweight material because, you know, it's going to be the next big thing. We can see their underwear, guys.
Yeah. And sometimes not even their underwear. All right.
Well, like,
You can actually see the outline of their balls. Like, I'm not talking about baseball.
Who looked at this on like a model and said, that looks perfect? Who was this?
Maybe they didn't have a model.
I do not. Apparently it was a mannequin. Okay. I don't want to go to the ball game and watch these guys jiggle all over the place because we can see their underwear.
Yeah. Look, no one wants to see if they're wearing a Nutty Buddy, okay?
No one needs
to know if their jock strap is sponsored by Shock Doctor. No one needs to see that.
That's going to be the new like advertising now. Like they're going to zoom in on the player's ass. Yeah. And it's going to say like,
yeah, check this out. Manny Machado is wearing underwear sponsored by MeUndies.
It's a thong.
That's
Giancarlo Stanton. He's wearing some very nice underwear today. Oh shit! It's a thong.
Calvin Klein.
Oh look, he's wearing bright pink.
Yep.
Like
or you know, God forbid a blacks.com.
Isn't there a players union? Like, can't the players union be like, guys, this is bullshit. You have got to change.
Well, I will say that there have been the players union have made this all aware. Fanatics have said they're definitely getting this fixed. Unfortunately, the question is, exactly, is it going to be before the end of spring training, before opening day, or is it going to be after opening day?
You know, right. Like, how many games are these guys going to have to play like that?
The other concern that this trickles out to is to us, the consumer.
Yeah.
Because this is a product that's going on to the field. When we shell out our money for these jerseys, are they going to appear as bullshit as they do on the field, as do off it into our hands?
See, I won't even buy one of the jerseys if they look like they do right now. Yeah. Hold on.
Oh,
let's
God,
see.
Yeah,
what?
Trash.
They don't even have my size, so I can't buy one anyway.
And also, that also trickles down to the NHL too, because next year they're getting sponsored by Fanatics. Is that going to fuck them over?
Oh my God.
Isn't that like a 10-year contract or something?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Football players in this material, in this fabric.
Yeah. I can definitely tell you a lot of players and goalies would probably get fines.
Here's another
one.
Because some of their equipment will have like the older logos. Like you'll see Reebok, you'll see Jofa, you'll see Brown, you'll see McKenzie, you'll see other brands other than what they're contracted with. So yeah.
Well, here's a question. I wonder if this material is easily torn because all this sliding
that's another question too. Yeah.
I actually when I first saw these pants and I was like, this has to be a joke. Somebody had to have like photoshopped this. And then, of course, again, we can't really watch.
Yep. And even worse, there was a pants shortage, too.
There was a pants shortage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even worse.
Stop.
So when it rains, it pours, Kat.
Good Lord.
So anyway, we got to get away from the uniforms as quick as we can. So who do we think, Let me pull this up for a minute. We're gonna do our our division predictions.
Oh yes.
For the AL East, who do we think is gonna win?
I really, everybody listening is gonna be like, well, of course you said that. I really feel like the Orioles are going to get it done this year.
They look more solid.
We have so many of the same guys coming back this year, and they want this to get done. They are not wanting, you know, because they hear all the negative stuff. They hear.
Hey, Kat, we'll try to shorten this. We'll try to shorten this. I know you got to go pretty soon.
Yeah.
Ben, who do you think? We're just going to say what team. Don't even have to say a reason.
I'm trying to help you out.
Ben,
I'm going Orioles as well. I mean, even though I'm a homer, but they have talent.
Whatever. It's whatever, man. So this is the AL Central. This is Guardians, Twins, Tigers, Royals, and White Sox. Who's winning this division?
Oh, that one is a toss-up for me.
Nobody's really
I think this is an up-for-grabs division. I think, strangely, I'm going to say Kansas City. Not because I'm a homer, but because they retract that. I'm going to say Minnesota.
Honestly, I think after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, I feel like the baseball team is going to have a little bit more of a fire under their butts.
Maybe.
So, I mean,
you're going to say Royals.
Royals would be okay with me for that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going Twins as well.
Yep. All right. AL West just had the Rangers, Angels, Mariners, Astros, and Athletics. Who's winning this division?
I so badly want it to be the Athletics, believe it or not.
Sadly, that ain't going to happen.
It's not, but I want it to happen because that is the only other team that I watch at all.
But we got to be realistic here. I mean, the Rangers are the defending World Series champions, and the Astros still have trash cans.
And the Seattle Mariners are just getting better.
But the Mariners also have a bad habit of getting kicking their fans in the dick.
Yeah, I don't think the Mariners.
I'm gonna say this is still the Astros division.
Probably.
Wild card. I'm gonna say the Blue Jays and the Rangers.
I'll go with that.
Yep.
I feel like the Blue Jays are always knocking though, like. They're always kind of like peeking their head in the door and they're like, hey, we're still here.
Kind of like here's
Johnny. I know there's a lot of listeners going, why don't I say the Angels? The Angels are Angels have more problems to deal with. His name is Artie Moreno. And so for the National League, start with the East. We have the Phillies, Mets, Nationals, Marlins, and Braves. Who's winning this division? I'm saying Phillies. Who are we saying?
I'm going to go with Nationals.
I'm going Braves.
Okay,
all three different.
So now the Central. We have the Cardinals, Cubs, Brewers, Pirates, and Reds.
Can I pick the lowest team?
Yeah,
they haven't played yet, so it's...
Okay, I'm going to say Pirates. Bottom of the barrel.
Ooh. So I'm going with the Cubbies.
So I was listening to ESPN, or not ESPN, I was listening to MLB radio this morning, and they were talking about how the Reds are kind of like the Orioles youth-wise. I'm going with the dark horse. I'm going Reds.
Okay.
By the way, I also know someone at the Reds. His name is John Sadak. He's their broadcaster.
Nice.
Oh.
Yep. So I've met him personally. He's a nice guy. And finally, the NL West. Giants, Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, Rockies. Who's winning this? Everyone say Dodgers?
Yeah.
Dodgers.
Yeah, there's no way they lose this one.
All right. And finally, for my wild card teams, I'm going to say Padres and Brewers.
I'm going to go Phillies and Brewers.
The Padres. I'm gonna put the Braves.
Actually, yeah, I'll retract the Brewers and put the Diamondbacks.
I was gonna say Braves and Padres.
Yep. All right. Because I can definitely tell you it was not gonna be Mets reigning supreme across the land. But no, it was not gonna be Mets. We're gonna get ready to end this podcast. Kat has to go. She is running low on battery. So anyway, that is it for the dirt and turf. We not only do we deliver facts and analytics, but we also deliver dingers. I am the man they call Cobra, and on behalf of our affiliates on Spotify, which would be Duke Cannon, Bulletproof Coffee, Sleafs, Dr. Squatch, Fanatics, you know, Fanatics and W Energy.